At last year's meeting, Dr. Lucy Green from UCL's Mellard Space Science Laboratory explained to me how magnetic fields form ropes on the surface of the sun. You can just search Lucy, that's L-U-C-I-E, on thenakedscientists.com to find that interview. Now, one year on, the sun has been busy, as have the solar physicists.
There's been a lot of activity over the last year. So activity in terms of the sun becoming more active and activity in terms of the solar research is having some really good stuff to look at. I guess probably the biggest thing that's been happening is our studies of the solar wind, and in particular using the Japanese Hinode spacecraft to study the solar wind. So there's been lots of interesting work looking at, in particular, where the solar wind comes from. So, for example, does it come from active regions, which are very strong concentrations of magnetic field, or does it come from coronal holes, which are more dispersed regions of magnetic field on the sun's surface? And actually, we've been looking at sources of a slow component of the solar wind and finding how it does seem to come from edges of active regions. And in particular, on the Hinode spacecraft, we have a spectrometer. And the spectrometer allows us to study how gases are flowing in the sun's atmosphere. So there's been some very nice work looking at the origins of the solar wind using this instrument.
So why is it important for us to understand the solar wind? Of all of the aspects of the sun that we can study, why is that a particular interest for you?
Well, we're interested in the solar wind because the Earth and all the other planets in the solar system are bathed in this wind coming from the sun. And when I say wind, I mean it is stuff. It is particles like hydrogen, helium that make up the sun's atmosphere. And this blows out into the solar system. But also the wind contains magnetic fields. And the particles along with the magnetic field really affects the objects in the solar system. So, for example, it can enhance the displays of the northern lights at the Earth. So we want to study the solar wind because it makes up the stuff in the solar system in which the planets exist and evolve. And it helps us understand the evolution, really, of the objects in the solar system.
So what have you got coming up next? We've had a busy year, and what's the next year going to be like?
I think the focus for the coming year will be results coming from NASA's latest mission, which is called the Solar Dynamics Observatory. It was launched last year, and the aim of this mission is to really have high resolution, so I mean able to look in detail at the sun's atmosphere at very small features, and with a very high time cadence. So we take lots and lots of images at every second of the sun. So the Solar Dynamics Observatory is able to look at the sun in a lot of detail. And importantly, it's going to help us understand how the sun influences things like climate change on the Earth. So the sun is the source of a huge amount of energy, which through things like the solar wind really affects us here on the Earth. But we don't really understand the flow of energy from the solar atmosphere through space into the Earth's atmosphere and down to the Earth's surface. So Solar Dynamics Observatory will help us really understand the physics behind that energy flow.
As well as the Solar Dynamics Observatory giving us high-resolution images, we've also got stereo now in a position that we can actually see the entire surface of the sun constantly. Is that likely to render some very good results as well?
I think it definitely will. Yeah, I love the fact that these two spacecraft, at a cost of, what, £500 million, have essentially proved that the sun is a sphere. but really, I mean, that's a bit flippant. It is more than that. So stereo is giving us the opportunity to see the full sun for the first time in human history. I mean, I find it completely mind-boggling that we can do this. So the stereo spacecraft are in orbit around the sun, and they are now at opposite sides of the sun. So it gives us this full 360-degree view. So what it allows us to do is see the full picture of solar activity. And we can start to understand, well, just how active is the sun? And things like, does activity on the far side of the sun produce or influence activity on the side facing us, which then ultimately affects us here on the Earth? So the 360-degree view really is going to help us sort of fine-tune our models and fine-tune our understanding of solar activity.
So we've got various things looking at the surface of the sun and the energy that comes out, but there's a long way between us and the sun. There's a lot of stuff in the way as well. How do we know what's happening in that intermittent period?
That's a very good question. And the energy that leaves the sun comes through space, travels 150 million kilometres before it impacts us here on the Earth. And we're not really sure exactly how it changes during this journey. So what the plan now is to launched something called Solar Orbiter, and we're waiting for the European Space Agency to give a final go-ahead on this mission. That will take place, we're hoping, in October this year. We hope to get the go-ahead then. And should Solar Orbiter be launched, that will take place in about, I think it's 2017. So when Solar Orbiter is launched, it will go into an orbit which is very close to the Sun, so about 3/10 of the Sun-Earth distance, and it will allow us to understand the kind of the missing link, as it were. So we'll observe the Sun and we'll see the energy leaving, but then Solar Orbiter will be in that energy flow, sensing it. So we'll get the missing link between the Sun, Solar Orbiter, and then the energy impacting us here on the Earth.
UCL's Lucy Green, she'll be back later on in the show taking on your solar science questions.